It's Tuesday, 28th of September, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Winx.
Hey.
Welcome one, welcome all to this lovely changeable weather outside currently. It doesn't seem to know whether it wants to not rain or just be absolutely torrential rain. Just all day, on and off. Much like the news, I suppose. No. We'll start, as we often do. What has everyone been doing recently? Nikki, take us away.
Hello. So recently I decided, because it was like on sale for less, I think it was like £4, to finally pick up Black Mesa, which, for anyone who doesn't know, is what started as a mod to remake Half-Life, then became a standalone title, and eventually got the okay from Valve to be released for money. Took like over 10 years, it released, didn't even have the whole game, then it got patched to get Zen a year or two after it came out. Regardless, finally picked it up. It was kind of always on my radar. And as someone who's played for the original Half-Life multiple times, it was quite nice to revisit it, albeit with some, you know, new-ish graphics. And a couple of changes here and there, like the chapter on a rails is now super short, whereas before it was super long. Zen's completely new and arguably terrible. It was all right. I've heard a lot of mixed things about it over the years, so finally getting around to it was quite cool. I think I spent about 7 or 8 hours in total playing for it. The weird thing was half of that was just going through the whole of Black Mesa, which was pretty much like 80% of the game. Because for most of it, I kind of like from memory knew what I was doing and where I was going, and they've simplified a lot of stuff. So it was just basically bunny hopping around, shooting aliens, crowbarring head crabs, and just having a bit of fun. It's horribly balanced, though. Like, even just on normal difficulty, like, I don't remember the original Half-Life being as difficult, but it's really, really difficult when you go up against the soldiers. Like, they will just destroy you. It's ridiculous. And the sort of, like, Spec Ops units, which are supposed to be, like, mini bosses, they were super easy. So, no idea what happened there. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It was a nice kind of break from... I don't want to say modern games, because it is a modern game, but obviously, you know, it's based on a game from many years ago. But it was nice to kind of just go back to something a little bit classic, if you will, albeit with a new coat of paint. But it has mod support, so I've been trying out some of the mods, including new weapons, new animations. Someone remade the original demo, Uplink. That was quite cool. That was actually really, really cool. And someone's in the process of, I say someone, it's probably a team, it's in the process of remaking the entirety of Blue Shift, which was an expansion for Half-Life, but they're making it for Black Mesa. So that's kind of cool. So I'm keeping an eye on that as well. And yeah, it was a good £4 well spent. Not too sure if it was worth the actual time I spent playing it, because it's not one of those cases where, like, the original was better, or, like, you know, you remember it being better. Just the changes that they've consciously made, especially with Zen being completely different, just were a bit crap.
Well, it's not about the journey, it's about the destination. Wait, that's the wrong way around. It's not about the destination, but about the headcrabs you met along the way.
I will say, for the most part, the bits I remember being a pain were still a pain. The bits that I remember being good are still good. Zen in the original, like, really overstayed its welcome, and it overstays its welcome twice as long in Black Mesa. However, I will say, the final boss battle is phenomenal. They did a really, really good job. Like, the final, like, 15-20 minutes is stellar. It's like is maybe actually worth the hassle of having to go through Zen. But a lot of the nonsense you have to do in the middle of the Zen chapters was meh. But yeah,
fighting a baby boss.
Fair enough. Winx, what about you?
Didn't play much mini console games this week, but I did get my chance to actually go to an arcade, like, for the first time in like 2 years, ever since the pandemic hit. So yeah, I went to the Las Vegas Las Vegas Arcade in Soho. I think that's what it's called. I always forget what it's called. I always call it something different, like Las Vegas Casino or whatever. And yeah, went with Rhodes. And we played a bunch of games, mainly Bishi Bashi, which is like one of my favorite games anyway. But I kind of forgot that Adam was colorblind. So the three buttons, was it? That was red, green, and blue. And green and blue kind of look similar anyway. So this is in dim light. So it's just like he had a terrible time with that. But it's a good game. Still lives up, still holds up, still takes all my money.
You forgot.
Yeah. Oops. Anyway, any way to get my edge on, you know. We played House of the Dead, which was nice little light gun game. So usually when you're in like with light game gun games, you reload with like a little pedal on the floor, kind of like Time Crisis. Well, that's what we assumed, but for this one we forgot that you have to like whip your gun away from the screen, so every once in a while we'd just be whipping and you could probably deck someone by accident. That's probably actually happened before, but
again, accident.
I can neither confirm nor deny that has happened.
Oh my god. Well, I mean, I was trying to get at him, but I kept going over his head. Anyway,
I mean, you say that, but curiously, he's not here.
Well, maybe I run him over in Mario Kart. I played that as well. I've never played a Mario Kart in the arcade before. Like, I've always wanted to do the VR, but it was an interesting experience. Don't know if I enjoyed it, but yeah, it's just your familiar Mario Kartness. And finally, we played the drumming game, the Namco drumming game with the drums or faces, and kind of like Donkey Konga, and that really hurt my hands. Like, I actually got like a blister for like a week, and that was kind of my own fault for going absolutely crazy on a pineapple pen. We somehow found that. Oh yeah, all that this entire game was just in Japanese. Like the arcade cabinet was in Japanese, so there was no English, and we just so happened to pick pineapple pen, which is just fantastic. And yeah, that's been my crazy week.
I hate the fact that there was probably some absolute bangers on that machine and you went for that one.
You're damn right.
Okay, well, me, I didn't play very much, but one game that I wanted to talk about was Sable. It came out this past week. It's free on Game Pass. So, well, free. It's on Game Pass, so I decided to give it a go because the screenshots and clips of trailers that I'd seen caught my interest, and I just didn't enjoy it. It's very the animation, they've chosen to do some of the animation with really like 3 frames a second, but as soon as you start moving faster, it's normal 60 frames per second, whatever, animation. I was playing this on the Xbox Series X, and the frame rate for just turning the camera kept going up and down, just manically. And then there was the aforementioned character moving. You're climbing a ladder at low frame rate, which if the whole thing was that, that's a stylistic choice, fine. But no, just some animations were jerky and some animations were smooth. And then at one point I fell through the map. And there's... Well, I did go back to a checkpoint, but it wasn't a recent checkpoint because the first area at least is a big old open area. And I just happened to run straight into on purpose, whatever, a rock. And while I was on this bike, a hover bike, and just fell down. And if I'd left it running, it would still be falling because I left it for a good few minutes expecting it to like warp me back up or restart at the checkpoint because I quote-unquote died, but because there's no enemies, I don't suppose you can die. One of the main mechanics is that you hold the jump button and you float gently down very, very slowly to the ground. So I don't even know if there's fall damage.
That's all heartbreaking.
So yeah, it didn't meet any of my very few expectations.
But it looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, I'm definitely going to try it, but yeah, it's such a shame that it didn't yield a polished result for you, at least. That sucks.
Well, I mean, it's the Xbox Series X, which the games are enhanced for Xbox Series X, which means smooth frame rates in this. That even ignoring the animation, which, as I said, probably a stylistic choice, every time I'd hit a checkpoint, I believe the frame rate would tank for like 5 seconds and then go back to normal, which is just a really disappointing experience. I've tried several games on Game Pass over the past month, and all of them are disappointing.
I guess you can say that Sable wasn't stable.
Yeah. Well, you know what I have high hopes for? Perfect Dark, the new game in development by The Initiative. The Initiative tweeted out that they're partnering with Crystal Dynamics, the team behind such classic games as Tomb Raider and recent results as Marvel's Avengers. And yes, I just thought it was interesting because, well, Crystal Dynamics certainly have a pedigree, and Perfect Dark could certainly benefit from the experience.
It's a good fit, like, yeah, considering, well, Crystal's backlog of predominantly Tomb Raider games from, like, what, Legends, I guess? And, like, they've shown that they can faithfully restore or faithfully do PS2 era Tomb Raider, and also later with their own reboot, their own take on the series, and then also the shiny blockbuster that was Avengers. Hopefully they won't make it like a Avengers experience, but maybe have that shine and sheen that they did on that game. But I assume that, like, it'll be fine. Perfect Dark will be fine, in good hands of both the Initiative and Crystal Dynamics.
In case you're unaware, Perfect Dark as an IP started on the Nintendo 64. Had two games. Three games?
Is it three? I know it's Rare, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one of them was on the 360. Oh, I don't know. it had at least two games. And Rare created it straight after GoldenEye, and while it wasn't quite as good, at least it featured a female protagonist, and the setting was a bit more near future sci-fi parts. And when I played it on the Rare Replay version several months ago, I got lost and rage quit.
Now, to make a real Perfect Dark sequel, just have it crash and it be completely black, and then that'll be perfectly dark, right to its name. No one could disagree. I'd have to give it 10 out of 10.
But we score it based on the gameplay, not on whether it fits its name.
No! Journalism, ugh.
Unless they, you know, pay us. Because that's something that definitely happens. Well, speaking of making money, Netflix has announced that they're not done with one Witcher series. They've confirmed that there's two projects in the works, a second anime film, and a Witcher show for kids. They haven't released any details, like if it's going to be live action or animated. But what? How's this going to work?
I was thinking, like, I literally have no idea, like, what a Gwent film. Actually, is there like a Punch and Judy marionette show in the world of The Witcher? Because maybe that.
I haven't played enough to have come across that, if there is one.
I kind of hope it's like a Dora the Explorer-esque animation. But it's a Geralt. And it's like, can you see the monster? And in the background, just like this monster just mauling a bunch of like villagers. And he's just standing there smiling at the camera. Slowly zooms in on his face. Like it's aimed for kids, but it's not. No, that's obviously not going to happen. Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, actually, on the same vein as what you said with Dora Explorer, maybe they can do a Blue's Clues, but with The Witcher and his horse, Roach. Like, there's a bit in the game where like he hallucinates, or it's seen as being him hallucinating, and his horse talks to him. That could be a thing.
Only if the horse is voiced by Brian Blessed.
Oh, yes.
Geralt's alive! I love Brian Blessed. I was actually, just a complete side tangent, I was watching loads of clips of Brian Blessed the other night because he's just great.
See, I'm not even going to ask why, because, as you say, it's Brian Blessed.
It's like a rule. Brian, like, YouTube recommends Brian Blessed, you watch it.
It's a UK law.
Punishable by death.
Yeah, it's the one thing you don't need a license for.
And the one thing that you can actually get killed for by the government.
Just some light treason? No. Didn't watch your Brian Blessed when it came up. Oh,
did you watch your Brian Blessed, did you? I didn't, Mum. Oh, Viafori's going to get you.
It's that meme of the person going into the prison. It's like, oh, what did you do? And then like says something and then that person's like horrified. It's like, oh, I didn't watch Brian Blessed. Oh.
Nothing scares me but that guy.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of a suitable segue off of scaring, but so Hitman Game of the Year edition, the recent Hitman, not the Agent 47 first one, released on GOG this past week, and for a site that says DRM free. It's weird that there's a game that requires you to always be online, because that is a type of DRM. And of course, the game as being what they are, they were not too impressed. So they bought the game and then left reviews saying that, that this is misleading and... Okay, while you can play it offline, you can't unlock weapons, items, outfits, starting locations unless you're online. So you can play just with the default outfit and the default hidden silenced pistol.
Not exactly future-proof, is it?
No, GOG did release a statement saying that they're going to look into it and update people in the coming weeks. If you've bought it and you want to refund, you can. But we will not tolerate review bombing. Review bombing is a process where people go to the store page of a game related to a company that's usually is problematic, or a game related to one that has come out and been awful, and leave negative reviews to tank the score. The score went below 2 out of 5, which Hitman is a, well, it got a Game of the Year edition. It's worth more than 2 out of 5. Yes. Is this a mistake that GOG's done this? Is requiring an always on connection actually a form of DRM, or does DRM only count as something you need to log into, say games for Windows Live and Rockstar accounts and stuff.
I don't necessarily know if it's DRM. I mean, it sucks that you obviously you said you can play it offline, but the fact you can't access most of the content is ridiculous. So it's kind of an oversight, but yeah, they definitely should have made it very clear on the store page, an internet connection is required.
Apparently there is a note on the store page now, but it doesn't look like there was when it first launched.
I just don't really see... I understand certain games need to be online to be able to play it, your Fortnites and whatever games as a service, but Hitman is... It could very well just be a single-player game on its own right, as in a classical, just you get the game, you might have to download some stuff, but ultimately you don't need a connection. In that kind of sense, I can understand that it could be seen as a DRM, but I don't think it's maliciously, on purpose trying to retain the same rights as you would with a DRM, but it is just unnecessary, and I think hopefully moving forward with Square or IO or any of them, that they just consider maybe this isn't a feasible way for video games to be, because just on almost all accounts, even if video game preservation and all that, it doesn't seem to benefit the consumer. It's just a weird kind of holding content just away. So when it does inevitably go away, it's how are you going to access that in the future? Or it just seems... I think it's an old practice, not an old practice, but a practice that needs to be conditioned. And we've gotten to the point where people are outraged. We've butted heads, and it's maybe you should do something about it.
Well, as games like the Telltale, well, some Telltale games, and Life is Strange, for instance, where you compare, I made these choices, what did other people do? 6% chose to knock over the cow or whatever it is. But Life is Strange for one is available on GOG and has the notes DRM free, no activation or online connection required to play. It's not required, it's not locking content, but I wonder, can you still, with the GOG version, can you still find out, did 6% knock over the cow like you did, or did 94% leave the cow alone?
Valuable information.
I wanted to go for something that wouldn't spoil Life is Strange for anyone, because there's lots and lots of different things that happen in that game, but knocking over a cow is not one of them.
Cow tipping, oh my god.
Well, from cow tipping to tipping Nintendo. Because Nintendo had their latest Direct this past week. They announced a new 3D Kirby game, gave us a look at Bayonetta 3. There's a expansion for Monster Hunter Rise, and a whole mess of stuff, including Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. The expansion pack, which is going to be priced separately to Nintendo Switch Online, is a new membership coming in late October, which will give you access to classic N64 and Sega Mega Drive games, including Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Light Wars, Echo the Dolphin, Contra, Hardcore, Golden Axe. I mean, what doesn't have Golden Axe on it? They haven't announced a price yet, or exactly when in October it's coming out. But Nintendo want your money.
Yeah, you can buy their controllers.
Yeah, there's a Sega Mega Drive and an N64 controller. The Sega Mega Drive controller has three buttons, the Sega Mega Drive controller, so will not be suitable for most Switch games.
Well, that's pretty cool. I think we're at the point where those games kind of came out during the Wii era too, with the WiiWare and all that downloadable stuff. So it's nice, I guess, to see it back on the on an eShop. But I think we're beyond the point where 64 games are not the they're not the gamer moment that used to be. I think we've gone to the point where it's like, all right, cool. Now can we have some GameCube games? Because now that's retro. And maybe even Wii games, because that even works with a Switch with their motion controls before, I don't know, they do something else.
But not the Switch Lite.
Oh, yeah, pants. Not the Switch Lite. Well, you can get a, you know what, you can get a, probably get a Wii controller that only works on the Switch. And there we go.
And doesn't have enough buttons to play normal Switch games.
And a very small nunchuck, too.
I've got to admit, N64 and Mega Drive games have me less excited than I was thinking that Game Boy games were coming to Switch.
Mm, which makes so much sense also, just because the Switch is, I don't know, a portable console, and we don't get enough love for the Game Boy games. But I guess we did get some kind of Game Boy Advance stuff with Castlevania, which was nice. Like, I dipped my toe in recently with, I think it was Harmony and Dissonance. They all kind of meld together, but it really scratched that Symphony of the Night withdrawal that I've been having. And it'd be nice to actually explore the rest of them too. So, like, yeah, I'm keen for Castlevania. Was it Advance Collection? I'm hyped. I'm psyched for it.
Yeah.
Just to interrupt, the expansion pack I should have mentioned will also allow you to play select titles like Mario 64 online with up to four players. So that's what you're paying for. You're paying for the access to the games and being able to play them with other people.
Good. I like that.
Of course, the highlight of the entire Direct was that we got to see Splatoon 3 footage and Bayonetta 3. Nothing else matters. Thank you.
Hold on. What about the Chocobo GP? That didn't look pants at all. That didn't look.
I mean, that looked terribly great. Like, let's be honest here.
It does look bad in a good way. You're right.
No, to be fair, there was actually quite a lot, like, just, I suppose, leaving the Nintendo first-party stuff aside for a second. There was a couple of, like, remasters of, like, some old classic games, which actually look quite interesting. We got to see the new card game that's been worked on by Yokotaro. You know, Dying Light 2 is coming to Switch as a streamed game for some reason. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut as well. Deltarune, I couldn't care about Deltarune, I'm sorry. I've just like opened the floodgates now, haven't I, to us getting so much hate.
The Shadowrun trilogy is coming. A few weeks ago they announced that they're remaking Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and then for this Nintendo Direct they announced that the original Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is coming to Switch.
That's a cool move.
Play the original while you wait for the new one.
Yeah.
And then do a comparison and watch as YouTube gets flooded with videos doing frame by frame analysis where it's like, they left out this particular box, therefore the game is terrible.
You can play the Switch with your feet, and then you can play the remaster with your hands and then get double the action.
Ace Tracer Renaissance. They've remastered the SNES classic, which... Yeah. Is it Ace Tracer or is it Act Tracer? There's no E, so it trips me up. Act Racer. Triangle Strategy. Last I heard about this, it was called Project Triangle Strategy. So they finally decided on a name.
Well,
Triangle Strategy.
I thought that was the file name. And then I looked and it's still called Project Triangle Strategy. So I think something's gone wrong with marketing. Or, like, they haven't changed their name yet.
I really, 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 really hope that it is just straight up called Triangle Strategy, because that's just the funniest thing. Like, when they announced Project Triangle Strategy, everyone was just like, please, just call it Triangle Strategy. And it looks like they're going to, and I really hope that sticks.
It's coming out 4th of March, so they got to settle on a name at some point.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, it looks good. It, you know, kind of has Final Fantasy Tactics vibes. It's in a similar art style to Octopath Traveler. My only grievance, like, based on what we've seen, is my same grievance as for why I still haven't played Octopath Traveler, is just, while the pixel art 3D stuff is kind of cool, please turn off the bloom or turn it down. Motion, like please let there be settings to turn off things like motion blur and bloom, because a lot of the, like the post-processing filters just make it too bleh to look at.
I've got a solution. Just like they do in the movies, just get your Switch, get some Vaseline, just rub it over. Make it even more bloomy, and maybe you'll be able to see it through the layer of Vaseline.
Squint.
Yeah, or squint. That's a cheaper option.
Cheaper option. I suppose that depends how much Vaseline you're using.
Now that's a triangle strategy.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either, I'm sorry. Oh, that was like some really big news from Nintendo as well, right? Right at the end.
What, the Hot Wheels Unleashed was coming to Switch, yes.
I mean,
Bayonetta 3.
All right, y'all are beating around the bush, huh?
No, there was nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else was announced.
How about the casting?
Oh, the Kirby game. Yeah, we forgot about the Kirby game.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
good shout, Winks. To be fair, that actually looks really good.
It does look like Mario Odyssey meets Nier, like that part in Nier when you're just in the shopping center. This is like vibes.
Okay, yeah. They announced the people who are voicing the characters for the upcoming Super Mario Bros.
Movie. Look at the time, I have to go.
that whole casting bit was a riot.
That was just a joke, right? We were all just like dreaming at that point. That didn't actually happen.
Just like in Super Mario Bros. 2, just all a dream.
I'm quite excited. Kevin Michael Richardson, he deserves the work. He's Kamek. And Fred Armisen, he's quite funny. Cranky Kong,
though. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, but...
I was having a good think about this. I had Paper Mario in the brain, and thinking The Thousand Year Door was kind of like a theatrical play, and which comes from like Super Mario 3, like it all being a stage play. And that got me thinking, I wonder if they're going to go down the route where the main part of the film is, I don't know, these characters, they're actually actors. Like Mario's an actor, Bowser's an actor, everyone's an actor, and it's more meta, and there's like a bigger threat, kind of like what they did with like the Lego movie, or there's like a Disney film that did something similar. It's just like, oh, Wreck-It Ralph. Maybe it's just like Wreck-It Ralph, you know? Like it could be on purpose that, like, because why is Charles Martinet in it? Well, maybe hopefully they give him more than just a bit part, but maybe they like find the real Mario or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching for straws, but like it checks out of my brain.
The good news is that the writer is the person behind it who did the story for the Lego Movie 2. And the screenplay for Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Oh.
Which is coming in 2022.
Well, it is an Illumination production. So.
Worth noting is this guy did not work on the Lego movie, just the Lego movie too. I didn't see that. Was it better than the first one?
I haven't seen the second one either. I love the first one though.
Okay, well, Princess Peach is the main character from The Queen's Gambit / Ileana Rasputin from the new Mutants movie, Anya Taylor-Joy. Luigi is Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I think that's a good pick. It's like neurotic.
Donkey Kong is Seth Rogen.
I think that's like the silliest casting choice though. Like it's kind of like just almost typecast, but just I could just hear like Seth Rogen's voice coming out, not like Donkey Kong, just like, oh hey, oh weed. Just I hope if there's any kind of drug reference with bananas with DK in it, I'm just gonna, not that I'm like it's gonna sour the film for me, but just like it's more just I don't really care much for Seth Rogen at all.
I was like as they were announcing the cast, I was like, oh, I hate this, but maybe it could work. The second they said Seth Rogen, I was like, I am done. I'm never watching this. I cannot stand the man. I literally the film is dead to me because that he's in it.
We're watching it together. We're all watching it in the premiere. We're all got tickets to the premiere. Did you know that?
I would rather the drowned.
Toad is going to be Keegan-Michael Key. He's quite funny.
Yeah, but I don't... How is he going to do Toad?
Scream.
Probably with his own voice, because I don't think he does voices.
Yeah.
Okay. Bowser, Jack Black, and Mario, that's... Chris Pratt. I said it.
So Jack Black, I think, at least makes some sort of sense, because he's just a little bit, but Chris Pratt is just literally just filler for any protagonist ever. And with that, I think that makes sense with Mario. But I mean, Mario is like an Italian plumber, and I don't think Chris Pratt does that. I don't know.
Italian American. I'm Super Mario Brothers from the 90s. He was played as Italian American.
Mm.
I think the thing that just makes no sense is like that then after all of that, they then announced that the actual voice actor for Mario is going to be in the film as like a cameo. And it's just like, why the fuck is he just not Mario then? Well, why the fuck is Chris Pratt, most generic white man ever, just Chris Pratt? Oh, no.
Because Mario is like generic. But also, that's why my theory comes, where I think Charles Martinet is actually Mario in it. Like, at the end, they'll actually find the real Mario or something. Something will happen.
Oh, he's going to be... Okay, so it's Mario, Mario, and Luigi Mario, right?
Yes!
So Mr. Mario, their father, is going to be Charles Martinet.
Mr. Mario, Mario Sr. Which makes Mario, the one we know, is Mario, Mario the Second.
I hate it.
I just... want the sequel, because you know they're going to introduce Wario.
Oh,
my question is: are Nintendo going to release a tie-in game? They haven't announced anything, but something to consider.
Yeah,
but yes, this Nintendo Direct was certainly busy, but we of course didn't find out anything about the final DLC fighter for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
It's Chris Pratt.
I was about to say it's Chris.
It's like, how many clones have you got in that game? God damn.
It's just going to be Mario, but voiced by Chris Pratt.
Just snippets of lines from him from like Parks and Rec and what's that? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians. Yeah. So it's all in the name of fun.
Is it?
Nikki's dying.
Okay, well, let's go back to these N64 and Mega Drive games that are on the Switch Online expansion pack. Of course, we got Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, Echo Dolphin, Golden X, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. They've been on everything. Musha. M-U-S-H-A acronym. I don't think I've heard of that. Rystar, that's not been on everything. But, I mean, it's been around. California Bloodlines, though.
That's the one that's an actual star, right? Just a star with a face, with a ball?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Sorry. Okay, continue.
Star with a face and arms and legs. And sneakers.
Oh, the kicks.
It was the 90s. He's got to wear sneakers. Oh, it turns out Musha is a shmup developed by Compile.
Many Umbrellas Surprise Hammock Armory.
Yep. That's exactly what it stands for.
Yeah!
Okay, well, the N64 games at least haven't been released and released and released. Let's see, there's Winback, or Operation Winback. Yoshi's Story? Which one's that? I know the...
Really? It's like the claymation-y kind of one, side-scrolling.
Oh, right.
Disappointment.
I remember the SNES Yoshi game that was then brought over to the Game Boy Advance, but...
Yoshi's Island, right?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one where the baby cries and it's like,
oh great. My yep. God, Nikki.
Oh yeah, my God, it's the original Death Stranding.
Oh my God. Holy Kojima.
Figured you out, Kojima.
God damn it.
Got ya.
Stealing ideas from Nintendo all this time. Yeah. Okay, I think we've reached the end of this. Unless anyone wants to talk more about Chocobo GP.
Oh boy, do I. Better stop me before I do. Any moment now.
I would now like to begin my 3-hour lecture on why Bayonetta is a queen and best mummy.
Okay, I think we'll finish off with something, Winks, that you wanted to talk about. It's not a recent news story, but it's, I suppose it's recent enough.
Right, yeah, that Wipeout. New Wipeout game is coming out, only to mobile phones, which is kind of sad, but I think what people are more angry about is that it's a card game where you don't drive or you don't pilot the hovercraft. So it's been about a decade since we got a new Wipeout game, not since the PS Vita. And people are pissed. But you know, it's not too bad. I mean, sure, we're still yet to get like a proper Wipeout sequel. Like, I think the last one was the PS4's Omega Collection, but again, it's more of like a collection of stuff. But maybe it's like showing down the line that we will get another Wipeout game, maybe on the PS5, who knows. But this particular Wipeout game called Wipeout Rush, it is a team manager kind of game. So I kind of get the frustration that people won't be able to fly crafts on their phone. But it's actually not a bad premise for a game. And I've definitely not really seen it. And I'm very curious how it plays. And also it looks very nice too. Like it's got a nice comic book art style, which we've never seen any kind of art style in a Wipeout game like that. It's usually as realistic as the platforms can actually push. But it really works well. I was like really surprised seeing the trailer. Disappointed, yes, with the general, like you can't actually drive, but yeah, it's not too bad. And that's my 2 cents on the latest Wipeout Rush news.
Have you seen the drama?
It is ridiculously... Yeah, I mean, I understand, but...
Well, apparently, I don't know how solid this is to take this with a pinch of salt, but apparently a few outlets, I'm not going to name them, deleted the announcement trailer because it was being like so the trailers were being like so review bombed, like negative scores and like everyone complaining. Apparently they've re-uploaded them a few days later and you just go to them now and the comments are all just like, we know what you did, it doesn't change the fact. Like, they're still just being absolutely slated.
Yeah, it's like we'll never forget. I mean, it's not like it's a niche game, but it's pretty niche. Like if you type Wipeout, you're gonna get the big balls and the jumping around, the actual live action TV yeah. series. But it's like integral to like PlayStation heritage, like and PlayStation's kind of sold off a lot of their properties, even though it's not their own property. Like Crash Bandicoot wasn't theirs, but it's synonymous with the PlayStation. Like Wipeout is up there, like Tomb Raider is up there, and all these titles, and like Wipeout is the only one that's like clinging on, and they're just letting it kind of go. So I can, it's just as a fan, you can just see it being like, now you've just made it into a mobile game, and it's not even like you're driving anything. It's not even as bad as Mario Kart, whatever the phone one is called.
It it's one of those games which is like, if they said, like, if they'd announced a brand new proper Wipeout game and then immediately afterwards announced the mobile game, people would be a lot more forgiving because they'd be like, oh, fair enough. You're just doing a bit of franchising, fair, whatever. Like, it's probably going to be shit, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because it was like, it's kind of how, like, Diablo Immortal, the mobile Diablo, that's still not out. That got announced, and everyone like just absolutely dunked on Blizzard. And then they have, then like I think it was like the year after they announced Diablo 4, and people said like if you'd done it the other way around, it wouldn't have been so bad. But you know, it is what it is. Of course, Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, still being investigated because of the earlier stuff, so that's still ongoing. Just wanted to mention that whilst bringing them up on the pod, so we don't forget.
Just like the Wipeout fans, we don't forget.
No.
But that's so true. Like if this would not be a thing at all if there was, I know, a little bit of evidence, a shred of evidence that there was a big Wipeout game coming out soon. Actually, another positive from this is from the trailer. At least it looks like it's giving us a tiny bit more lore and backstory than like literally the rest. The entire series is pretty barren, with maybe sparse in like artwork, and I think maybe the PS2 version like had actual characters. But it's just nice to see the franchise actually getting a little bit of love, just even if it's this.
They haven't quite forgotten about Wipeout yet. And with that, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki and Winx. That might be it for this episode of the Greencast, but you can subscribe wherever you found this episode for a new episode every Tuesday night. You can hear more from GameGrin by visiting GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast, which covers the latest anime from the current season. And until next time, game on.